This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Kia ora, welcome to Connect with Community Waikato on Free FM 89.0. You're listening to Roseanne Murray, and I have in the studio here today, Daz Burns from the Good Day Matrix. Hello there.
Hello, Roseanne. Hello, everyone.
Yeah, hey, great to have you in here with me this morning. We thought it'd be a really great opportunity to talk about this amazing leadership event that's coming up very shortly on the 12th of November, actually. The Community Leaders Ecosystem event. So, Daz, tell us all about it. How did it come about?
We have been doing a lot of mahi with different high schools throughout Waikato, so Pairau College, Waihi College, Hauraki Plains. We've worked with the Community House team. We talk to Community Waikato all the time. We're talking to Waikato Wellbeing Project, Creative Waikato, Hospice Waikato, the Community Link Trust, Rainbow Hub, a bunch of people. And we kept hearing the same messages that funding is starting to get harder and harder to come by, that it's harder and harder to engage volunteers or people to actually really get involved in the different things that people are doing out there in the community. And I feel like they're doing the Lord's work, if I'm honest. Like, they're out there day in, day out, and they do long hours for us to make sure that sports happen or arts happen or our people feel safe in the communities. And we needed to do something. They were more of the conversations were around that there's conflict sitting there, or how do we communicate? How do we use our time effectively to ensure that we can get all the key things that we want done in terms of strategy, but also just day-to-days and conversations with boards and people not knowing how their roles go? And so it sort of it was all sitting there brewing, but really when we'd been working with our rangatahi out in the Waikato, it really started to dawn on us how urgent it is when you see that hope is gone from a lot of their eyes, and that they're not engaged with too much, and that's with that school and in community. And so we're like, right, we need to do something. So we started some conversations, and we were talking to pretty much every council there that we could get hold of, right through. And we kind of came up with this really cool concept of having this Community Leaders Day to really give back to them for everything they give to us. And it's only a small, tiny, you know, piece that we can give, but it's something we can do, and we know we can pull amazing humans in to really bolster that, and so that people can leave with really practical things that they can do that are kind of that grassroots level. We're not talking pie in the sky. How can we share resources? How do we engage our rangatahi? What does inclusivity look like? How do we get intergenerational comms going where we don't go, those young people don't want to do this? And it's not about that. And then we can often say, we've got lots of opportunities out there, they're just not taking them. But if they're not engaged, they won't see those opportunities as something that's for them. So that's how this event came about, was to really try and pull 280 amazing people together in a room to start going, right, how can we help? What's there? And we've done a survey with all of the people who've signed up so far. So I think we've given 187 tickets. And so clear messaging. So they've all told us we need sustainable funding. There's reduced funding. We don't have enough funding. They're struggling with managing and leading change. They're struggling with lack of engagement, both from stakeholders and community in general, that they don't have enough time, that they really need some help with strategic planning, and that their workload is just overwhelming, as you can imagine.
Yeah, and I think with that too is, their whole bucket is pretty much nearly empty themselves, with from their own energies, that they're all having to put into it. And I know talking to a few community leaders lately, it's, normally it's like, okay, we've got to really think about, our purpose. We've got to think about the work that needs to be done. But really the priority's got to be about the well-being also too, of not only the staff, but the leaders themselves.
Yeah. And you know how I feel about that, Roseanne.
Yeah, that is so true.
And look, it's the first thing, when we get stressed, the first thing that goes off any to-do list is taking care of ourselves. And yet we know that that's the thing you need more than anything else in those moments. And all that build-up, right? So we want our people to be resilient. We want our leaders to be resilient. We want the communities to be resilient that they're part of. We want our rangatahi to be resilient. And so that all comes with paying attention to what we need and actually doing it and prioritising it and going, right, because what I used to do would be I get really stressed, go home, eat really badly, sit on the couch, watch some terrible TV, and then go to bed. But then my brain was still not ready to go to sleep because I was still processing it all. Whereas now I know even on the toughest day, somewhere I need to squeeze in a little tiny bit of exercise. I know that's good for me and I know that it will clear my mind. And I know if I go and eat crap, which I still do, you know, it's not going to help the next day or it's not going to help really get my brain going to actually try and solve some problems that I need to go and tackle. So, yeah, hopefully we're hoping that this day energizes our crew. We know it's not a silver bullet. It's not going to fix everything. But hopefully the conversations can really start to go, okay, right. Am I self-aware of what I need? What do I need to do? How can I support my team to be self-aware for themselves? And then how do we start getting some stuff done on the limited budgets or the limited time that we have?
Yeah, it's so true. And to cap it off is the amazing venue that we're going to be hosting it in. Yeah, so tell us a little bit about all that.
Yeah, so we're going to be at the Pavilion at the Hamilton Gardens, which is all just beautifully newly done. And if you haven't been down there, go down and have a look because it is absolutely stunning. They've done a wicked job. So we'll be in the big part of the pavilion there. And Hamilton City Council have supported us to do that, which is epic. So they're getting in behind our community leaders as well to really try and put on an epic day for them. And we've also got the support of the cafe that's at the gardens as well. So they're going to be catering it. So come for some yummy food as well. So fantastic. And Community Waikatoa helping to pay for all of that food, and they've given us an amazing discount as well. So we're very grateful for everybody jumping on board.
Yeah, no, there's some great supporters, and also to the Waikato Wellbeing Project are supporting this as well, aren't they?
Yeah, so they're helping us in funding of all the, bringing all our amazing speakers. So we've got Sasha Coburn, we've got David Galbraith, we've got Irana Seveni Takataka, and then we've got an amazing panel for our rangatahi. So we've got Ashra Padmore, Javea Feke, Dujon Cullingford, and Mita Arif. So, yeah, amazing lineup of people, all with the purpose to just make things better and make things easier and help us be more resilient and have conversations.
Yeah, so maybe just talk a little bit about each of those. You've got four sessions on, and you've just talked about, you know, the four different sort of leaders or the panel that's going to be involved in one of them. So Sasha, her session, is what's that going to be sort of based on?
Yep, so Sasha is a force of nature. And actually, shout out Roseanne, because I came across Sasha because of you at a Sport Waikato Leadership event.
Did too,
a long time ago. And she came in singing, I think she sang Pink that day, or Black Eyed Peas maybe. And I was like, I love you. And anytime I can, I'm going to be in your space and I'm going to hear you talk and get inspired by you because she's fantastic. So she's going to be talking about managing conflict and doing that in a really constructive way, in a really practical way, but also being able to communicate confidently, because often what can happen, we talk about influence. We don't want to be influencers, but at the same time, we do need to influence what happens. So we don't want to do generic statements like, we need to get this report done and we need to email this person, because then who's we? Who's the person who needed to go get it done? And by saying we, I haven't delegated that to anybody, nor has anybody taken responsibility for it. And then deadline comes and no one's done it, and they're kind of like, oh, I didn't really realise. So communicating with influence is just trying to make sure that messages are really clear, really distinct, and we're getting things done that need to get done without having to come back three or four times. So, yeah, I think that session is going to be epic.
And as you say, Sasha will be doing it in her own unique style
and
way.
Oh, yes, so sing.
Yes,
I'm sure.
Yeah, so you're not just going to be felt like you've been talked to.
No, absolutely.
No, I'm sure you're going to enjoy that session along the way. David Galbraith, and hopefully we'll have a bit of time later to talk a little bit about where I recently just heard him, but have also previously had the opportunity to hear David speak. Yeah. So what's he going to sort of talk about?
Uncle DG, he's an absolute legend, and he's a massive part of what we do with the Good Day Matrix, so we involve him as much as we can in any way, shape or form, because he is such a force when it comes to resilience and when it comes to connection, and also just leading yourself, being responsible for yourself, and that accountability to actually go, actually, if I want to change something, whether it's for personal life or professional, if I don't do anything, nothing's going to change, and my behavior doesn't lie. So that's his beautiful messaging, and I love it, which he just calls you up and he's like, right, Santa's not coming, you need to do this yourself, so how are you going to do it? And actually be accountable to deliver. So, yeah, he'll be talking about resilience and connection and really digging into that from a community lens for an hour.
Yeah, no, and just also too, one thing that resonates with me is I think it was, you know, what's your first thought when you wake up in the morning, yeah. you know, and what do you first do in the morning, you know, and I've actually really been concentrating on that the last few weeks since I last heard him, you know, because quite often when you first get up in the morning, it's like, oh, no, you know, there goes the alarm, you know, so your day starts to spiral from the outset, doesn't it?
Yeah, very much.
Yeah, no, so that should be a really great session as well. And you've also got Erina. She was, wow, I think I last came across her at the Wise Group. And so what's her session that she's going to be leading?
So she is going to be talking all about that cross-pollination and working together across organisations with a lens, and I, that's why I love her so much, because, you know, you've got me who goes, hey, you've got vans and I need vans, how can we work together? Or, hey, if we collaborated on this, we could pool our funding and kind of do this. She understands that way more at a deeper level from a community lens, which is that's not actually how it works. And she understands so much more about that. So she's going to lead a really exceptional session around that of how do we start having the conversations? How do we start to really ground ourselves to go, well, the money's not coming, you know, and that's not going to get better for a while. So what does this really look like from a grassroots level for us? And how do we start to move ourselves forward? So it's going to be a pretty epic session.
It will. And a recent forum that I was involved in, we talked all about, you know, that collaboration, building those partnerships, that it has to be a two-way partnership, that it can't just be you, like, maybe I want your vans. You know, what's in it for both? So, I think that'll be really exciting as well. And then the fourth one you talked about, you'll obviously have a panel of younger people.
Yep.
And that's really going to sort of get into talking about that whole intergenerational and belonging focus, I believe.
Yeah, so it was originally supposed to be me having a panel, and asking lots of cool questions and getting some cool stuff. What I started to realise as I met all of these cool people who I'd like to be part of this panel was that they all need their own space to not wait for someone else to answer their part of the question and to actually lead it from where their experience is and where their expertise lies with our rangatahi and with working out in the community. So they're actually all going to have their own block of time now, which is so exciting when you talk to them, and that's why I can't wait for them to share their passions, because we're going to hear about trauma. And for a lot of us, we don't understand the very beginnings of what trauma is, and we kind of think we have an understanding, but when you hear them speak, we don't understand. And the more we can, then the more our communities are going to benefit, because we'll understand how to engage our rangatahi so much better. So we're going to learn about trauma, we're going to learn about how to engage them in the different events that we run in the community, so they're actually a part of it right from the start. So Asher will be talking about that. There's so many cool things out of that. But again, it's just like I was speaking with Mita last week, and she was saying, you know, simple things that I don't consider, I'm a very privileged New Zealand European Pākehā person, and I don't even consider doing a flyer for a community event that we're trying to engage everyone in Te Reo Māori or in any other language. When we think about it, we're trying to get so many different Indigenous communities to be a part of this with us who live here in New Zealand. Didn't even cross my mind, you know, and I own that straight away. And I love her for, then that's the stuff that we're going to hear about and talk about and go, actually, so then how do we actually authentically approach people to be part of the things that we know, you know, would be so great to have these different voices in the room, but are we really considering what they need and how to engage them, you know, to bring them into the room? So, yeah, all of those kind of things are going to challenge.
Yeah, and really valid points. I think with the latest census data that came out, I think, was it around about 25% of the population, different ethnicities?
Yeah.
And the number of ethnicities, I think, was over 160, 180 different. Yeah, it's, we're so much more diverse.
Yeah.
And yet so, I suppose, still ingrained in just that one way or that one channel of doing things, isn't it?
And as she said, you know, we have a lot of refugees and migrants, and often if you've ever really paid attention, when you sort of look for yourself and when they say, what are you, New Zealand, European, Māori, Pacifica, then there's other. And she said, when we gather the data of other, we can't actually put the right supports in place in the community to support the migrants and support our people, because we don't know where they are, who they are, where they've come from, and what they're going to need. So she's working really hard with the Waikato University to change that there, so that they can at least have a service or have a catch pit that they can actually take care of people and get to know them and understand where they've come from right from the outset.
I was working with a group on Friday, and to me it just was a real eye-opener in the sense of, you know, refugees for a lot of them is, you know, where they're originally from, but then they maybe have spent the last 10 years in a refugee camp in another country, you know, and it's just, and then even within their own country, the different languages, dialects, it's just amazing, isn't it? But we all pop them together.
Yep.
Yeah.
Other.
As you say, it's other.
Other.
Yeah. Indeed. Yeah. All right. Well, it sounds like there's going to be four amazing different sessions. And so is it that everyone can get an opportunity to sit in on each session? Is that how the order will work?
Yeah, so there's no breakout. So everyone will see every single thing that happens up on the stage, which will be really cool. And I think rather than having those breakouts, keeping everybody having those shared experiences is going to be, again, a powerful tool that we can use so that everybody leaves on that same page. We've heard the same messages. We're all going to take away different stuff. And, of course we will, but we've heard those same messages and you can't then say that you didn't hear it or wasn't a session, because sometimes, who was I talking to about this the other day? Doesn't matter. That, you know, when you've got an option, you'll pick the safe option often. So if there is a breakout and, like, let's say it's workplace wellbeing, learning about leadership capabilities or a strategy session, you'll pick the thing that feels safe that you're kind of interested in, but actually the thing that would challenge you would potentially be learning about workplace wellbeing or about our immigrant community or our rangatahi. But you're kind of, so we kind of like to use it as an opportunity that even if you didn't think you needed to hear it today, you're going to hear it, and I bet you're going to take some amazing things away from it.
Yeah, no, good strategy you got there in place. So for any of our listeners out there who are thinking, wow, this is something I want to be a part of, so maybe if you can just go through the details of when it's on. We know it's going to be at the lovely pavilion at the Hamilton Gardens. Yep. And then how do they go about registering and things like that?
Cool. So Tuesday, it's going down 12th of November. It's 9:15 to 2:45, and we tried to do that for our working whānau who might need to drop children off, working parents, and pick children up at the end of school, or travellers as well. So we are expecting a lot of out-of-towners, so trying to make that day as effective as we possibly could, but also make sure that we've our travelling whānau or working parents
can. Yeah, and I think also too, by having it at the gardens, it's at that sort of south east end of town, so you don't have to get all the way across Hamilton to get
easy parking. That was one of our goals, so easy free parking as well. Yeah. So we want to see community leaders, we want to see anyone who's a part of not-for-profit organisations, we want to see anyone from local government come in there. We want the more voices and stakeholders there, the better. And if it's just somebody who really cares about seeing the community thrive, you don't have to be part of a community organisation to come along, or part of a government or a part of a council, come along, because there will be some amazing stories, amazing tools that will come out of it, but also amazing connections to keep moving forward.
Yeah, and I've tapped a couple of leaders in the community sports sector to come along as well, because all about sort of trying to support community.
Just
their vehicle is potentially sport. So, I know they've already registered. That's great. So, obviously, registrations via the Community Waikato website, which I should know, www.communitywaikato.org.nz. And you just need to click on the workshops on the homepage, and that will take you to where there is a tile there which talks all about this event, and where you can just click on there to register.
Yep.
Fairly easy sort of process to go about that. So yeah, I think you were saying before, we've got about 187 people already registered. We've got a cap of 280.
Yep.
So I think it's, yeah, get in quick while you can. And for all those people that have already registered, my call out or my shout out to you is make sure it is in your diary and that you do prioritise to come along, so that then you're not taking the space of someone who maybe is going to miss out, because it sounds like it's going to be a fantastic event coming up on the 12th of November.
I'd also say there, if you're coming and you're the only one representing your organisation, bring someone else.
Yeah.
Make them register, obviously, because we can't have over 280 people, but the more that you can, so you're not the lone ranger going back into your workplace going, oh my goodness, I heard this amazing stuff about conflict or resilience or rangatahi or how to engage the community, and no one else is on your waka, there's nothing worse. So bring as many people from your organisation as you can, because the more of you that are singing from the same song sheet, the better it's going to be for you guys moving things forward.
Great piece of advice there. Thanks for that, Daz. All right, we're just going to take a little break and then we're going to come back and we'll just sort of go over the key details of this event going forward, and then also have a quick little chat about a recent leadership event that Daz and the Good Day Matrix sort of led for the community as well. So we're just going to take a few minutes and listen to the Proclaimers.
When I wake up, well, I know I'm going to be the man who wakes up next to you. When I go out, yeah, I know I'm going to be the man who goes along with you. If I get drunk, well, I know I'm gonna be the man who gets drunk next to you. And if I haver, yeah, I know I'm gonna be the man who's havering to you. But I would walk 500 miles and I would walk 500 more just to be the man who walked 1,000 miles to fall down at your door. And I'm working. Yes, I know I'm gonna be the man who's working hard for you. And when the money comes in for the work I do, I'll pass almost every penny on to you. When I come home,
when I come home,
oh, I know I'm gonna be the man who comes back home to you. And if I broke, well, I know I'm gonna be the man who's growing older than you. But I would walk 500 miles and I would walk 500 more just to be the man who walks 1,000 miles to fall down at your door. When I'm lonely, well, I know I'm gonna be the man who's lonely without you. And when I'm dreaming, well, I know I'm gonna dream about the time when I'm with you. When I go out,
when I go out,
well, I know I'm gonna be the man who goes along with you. And when I come home,
when I come home,
yes, I know I'm gonna be the man who comes back home with you. I'm gonna be the man who's coming home.
Right, and welcome back to Connect with Community Waikato on Free FM 89.0. You're listening to Roseanne, and I have with me in the studio Daz from the Good Day Matrix. We've been talking about the Community Leaders Ecosystem event that Daz and the team at the Good Day Matrix are coordinating and in partnership with the Waikato Wellbeing Project, Hamilton City Council, and of course Community Waikato as well. So it's going to be an amazing event coming up on the 12th of November. And if you want to register, just go to the Community Waikato website, www.communitywaikato.org.nz. Now, we've actually only got a few minutes left in the show, actually, just on 4 minutes. And I thought it'd be a great opportunity just to have a quick little recap of another amazing leadership event that you've just recently coordinated called the Take 10
Yep.
That's correct. We had these 10 amazing speakers and they only had 10 minutes each. Yep. And there might have been one or two took a little bit of liberty with that, but it didn't feel like it, you know. And just the amazing sort of messaging and takeaways. And I was very fortunate to be one of the guests there on the day. Any key thoughts from you around that?
The feedback was we got, I think it was 96.4% rated at 10 out of 10,
wow,
which was exceptional. The moments that happened on that day, I don't even know how I could explain them now. It was the electricity in the room was electric. It was, people were fizzing with heartfelt tears when some people shared their stories and genuine belly laughs and aha moments from almost every single speaker. They touched every single person in some way, shape or form, which I think was pretty special. So I'm going to flick this to you. What was your moment of the day? Did you have a moment of the day, Rosie?
Oh, look, the whole 10 of them were amazing. And I felt the order of the 10. We started off with
Cam Calcohen.
Cam, that's right. Yeah. And he's someone with cerebral palsy and very loud and proud of that. And I just thought, wow, you know, that guy just, you know, blew me away right from the outset, you know, and that just set the scene for the whole time. I actually knew Seamus through when he used to be working alongside Waibop Football I was at Sport Waikato and sort of knew a little bit about his journey pre. I suppose, you know, just so proud of seeing how someone's evolved and what he's doing with himself. You know, look, there's probably not one other little key message I can take away, but just the whole 10 just blew me away. And then you finished off with the amazing
Harley Patahira.
Right. Yep. Yeah, and was it Marion School or what school?
Yeah, Marion School.
Marion School had the young sort of, I don't know, what are they, year 7 or year 8 students,
the Kapahaka group.
Yeah, and I thought, oh, wow, what a fantastic way to finish it off. And wouldn't it be amazing if we had more people like Harley out there working with our young tamariki and rangatahi?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's an exceptional human. As soon as we came across him, we were like, you are going to do amazing things in the world. And if we can attempt to help your message get out there or just share who you are so more people see you, then that's what we want to do because he is exceptional. And I was really excited that day because Dan Walker from Microsoft, he's up in Auckland. He was one of our speakers as well. And Dan is an exceptional leader and very, very just an awesome human. And as soon as I met Harley, I was like, Dan and Harley need to meet. How am I going to make this happen? So we had both of them speak at the event just so I could make sure that they met and the electricity just between the two of them and what they are doing for our Indigenous whānau, for our Māori whānau. Like, it's outstanding. I love it.
Yeah. And just on that quickly, one of my work colleagues, she heard about Dan and they're bringing the young, you know, rangatahi together and stuff. Yeah. And she's like, my son needs to do that. Mm. So she made a beeline for Dan at the end of the event and sort of said, how can we make this happen? You know, you know, where do we go with that? So just amazing. Look, unfortunately, we're running out of time and we're not going to be able to talk a bit more about it in detail, but I just loved the concept of only the 10 minutes, 10 people, 10 minutes. It was just so refreshing. Mm. And you still got so much out of each of those people.
Yeah. And it really challenges people to distill the message they want to share because you could talk for an hour. But what you can do with 10 minutes has to be really on point. And it's, you know, Brooke actually said that to us afterwards. She normally does sort of an hour keynote. And to bring that into 10 minutes really challenged her to go, what are the key things here that really need to shoot through and make sure it lands? So, yeah, it really challenges you to put a microscope on things.
It does indeed. All right, look, we have now run out of time. So look, thank you, Jazz, for coming into the studio and talking to us and the work you've done so far in the past, but the amazing mahi that I know you're going to be doing in the future as well. So thank you on behalf of the community for that. You've been listening.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.